Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. It's back. It's all back. Shaba is back. The premiership is back. And Sundowns are back to getting knocked out of the MTN 8. Whether you're listening to us on Soccer Laduma, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. Joining us today is a man who I believe is ready for a brawl, as his gloves have long since come off. It's Sean Roberts.
Wow.
How are you doing, sir?
It's so bad. I'm good, thanks, bro.
Very good, very good. And wherever he may be joining us from, he'll have no problem locating us. It's Google Earth himself, Mr. Teko Madise. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, Simon. How are you, sir?
I am very well. I'm very well.
Fantastic.
Yes, I am Simon Strehler, filling in for Slew Paho, and I know more about the shape of a waveform than the shape of a football, which is why I'll be shutting up now and handing over to Sean Roberts for the joke of the day.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Simon. Great intro. Right. What do you call it when Batman skips church? Christian Bale.
When he skips church.
Christian Bale. When you bail?
Yeah. Okay, white people's jokes. Okay.
Yeah, not bad.
No, it's okay.
Thank you, my boy. Right, Teko, MTN 8 results. Let's go. We were right on most of them, except one of them. Right.
Which one is that?
Well, we were both wrong on Sundowns, weren't we?
Yeah, of course. I think many are.
I think we both called Pirates. Yeah. We both called a win. We both called Chiefs. We both called Supersport.
Supersport.
That was quite interesting. TTM coming back with a little bit of a comeback. But Chiefs very lucky, hey? I mean, first half it was all Maritzburg, and then all of a sudden, their new goal machine, Jagan Sassman, scores a brace. What do you think of the results? What do you think of the game?
Look, I didn't have like big expectations when it comes to the game itself in terms of the performance from Kaizer Chiefs. Looking at how big the game is, and there's new coach and the top players are suspended, there's too many things within that. But I was not impressed by the way they played first half. I think Maritzburg could have taken advantage of that.
Big time.
And
they could have been 3-3 or 4-0 up, eh?
Easy, yeah. easy. And it's football. But when you don't take such chances, they'll punish you. And if Kaizer Chiefs were playing one of the big teams, having those kind of opportunities, they would have been punished.
Yeah.
You see, that's the difference between quality. Now, with Maritzburg, you've got good players. But, you know, the end results, where the quality is, where the money is, that's where it counts most. And they never showed up on that. I think they could have won the game. But right. Second half, I think Kaizer Chiefs continued where they left off, winning with set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not new to me. I just want to see probably maybe how Kaizer Chiefs are going to unfold during the season, so giving them space and time.
Gavin Hunt speaks about his fullbacks. I mean, we call them wingbacks, but he was talking about them, his fullbacks continuously going up too far, which is how we've been used to seeing them play, and he doesn't want that to happen anymore.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Because I'm used to seeing Sassman and what's his name on the right?
Frostler.
Yeah, Frostler, you know, in the final third, week in and week out. And he's saying no. He wants him to stay back.
Look, he also said that the reason why he doesn't like that is because most of the time they're facing their own goal.
Right.
And for you, technically, for you as a coach to play those wingbacks, you need to be having midfielders that knows how to secure the ball, that knows how to rotate the ball, to keep the ball.
Right.
Right, because of those two wingbacks, they're adding numbers into your attack. So therefore, when you lose the ball, obviously you're naked at the back. So those are the cons of it. Mm. But the thing is, if he says that, which basically says he's gonna use proper wingers,
right?
He wants to have four solid at the back and a proper wingers.
Correct.
But then again, coming back to what Kaizer Chiefs want as fans. As players, does he have the players to bring in the crosses? Because if you checked, there was too many crosses that were played in.
Mm-hmm.
there were too many crosses, and I'm like, Nukovic is not here, guys. Where are you crossing to? You know.
Yeah.
But you can tell that there's an emphasis that is put in training, that you need to put in the ball inside the box. Yes, Nukovic, Castro, they will benefit from it. But then I'm trying to warn Kansas Chiefs fans that if you want success, if you want to go back to winning things, you need to have patience for any coach that comes into the team and try and win first, and you play nice later.
Yeah.
I think this is what we said about Modern Dub, and people were still criticizing him, blah, blah, blah. This is Gavin Hunt. Is he going to be criticized the way he was, the way Modern Dub was criticized, or is it because he's a South African coach, people understand him better, or Modern Dub was not likable by the media? We'll wait and see. But for me, is I believe the Kansas Chiefs, with the players that they have, and with the situation that they're in, there is no way the Kansas Chiefs can play differently.
Yeah,
even if he wants the players to cross, they don't have crosses of the ball.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I was impressed with Parker. He did very well.
He had a big game. Eh?
Yeah, he did. I was very impressed with him.
Big game.
And interesting, Hunt, the way he speaks about Billiatt, is he's trying to build it around him, I think. He was talking about how Castro sort of played into Billiatt's favor, which is nice. I think this is possibly what Karma needs, is a new lease of life, a coach that really, really believes in him. And yeah, I'm excited going forward. I think Chiefs are going to do well. And I still have them down as my favorites for this season.
Look, man, Gavin Allen is my favorite. It's one of my favorite coaches, and I like his thinking around the game itself, and how he stayed true to his identity as a coach.
Right.
And for the first time, you know, him going, not for the first time, but you know, for me, going out like this and speaking about the person that was never had a great season, that has been having stick all the time, and to speak about him like that, it shows that he has confidence in Karma. He's got high, you know, he's got expectations for Karma. And as a player, those are nice things to hear. Those are nice things to read about, that the coach believes in you and he wants everything to rotate around you. I did say that at Sundowns, when we were playing for Karma.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing for Dolly. We were playing for Castro. Mm. The time they were calling them CBD, we were playing for those guys. We understood what CBD meant to the team.
Yeah.
They were bringing in results, irrespective of who was more talented than who. But we knew that if we wanted results, these are the guys that will bring in the results. And our system revolved around them. And they're true. Those guys' games, you know, went to the top. Keegan went left overseas.
Mm.
Karma was supposed to. So is Castro. But they were the top players at the time.
I like it. CBD, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so now Karma now is in a different situation. Karma's now, like I said before, Karma's in a space where he has never been the star of the team. He has never been in a situation where he needs to carry a team alone.
Right.
And now you have a coach that says, listen, I'll build a team around you. Let me find ways on. Let me put you in positions where you are more dangerous.
Let me get the best out of you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's for me, that's the best thing.
I like the way you put that, actually. It took on nicely. Right, let's move on to Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yo.
I did not see this coming.
Me either.
Give me your rundown. I mean, I even looked at the bench during the game, and it just looked bizarre having three coaches there. It just didn't seem right. And I'm not saying it's got anything to do with the result, not at all. But let's not put anything past the Bloem Celtic goalkeeper. He had a magnificent game.
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson had a great game. But still, you shouldn't be losing to Bloem Celtic with the money they've just spent. Just their coaching bench alone is probably worth millions. What's your opinion on the game, Tick? Or where do you think it went wrong for Sundowns besides the final third?
You know, the legends once said, the game of football has no therefore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, irrespective of how you've assembled your team, doesn't guarantee you points or doesn't guarantee you victory.
Mm-hmm.
Bloemfontein Celtic came with a game plan, they stuck to it. They knew that going pound to pound and play openly like they did, they will never, never win the game.
Mm.
The advantage that kept Bloemfontein Celtics had was there was few of the new players within Sundowns' team.
Correct.
That still needs to understand how Sundowns play.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they didn't have enough space for Shalili to run into. So therefore, they can't use Shalili to his strength. That's minus one problem.
Mm.
The second one was they had three or four players that were all playing the same. They all came to the ball, they're ball players. They had Zwane, they had Serino. Who's that other boy that came from Vets? Domingo.
Hashim.
Hashim, I think that's him. And all those guys, whenever they hit the ball, most of the time they're occupying the same space. Right? And now in that space there was only one threat, who was Shirley Lee, and most of the time he didn't know what to do because he's still new into the team.
Yeah.
You needed somebody to bring in that element of surprise, to run beyond the line, to receive over the line, to stress Bloemfontein Celtics much further, and they were not doing that. Even with Kemet, even in the second half, when they brought in those subs, it was still the same. Kemet was never been a player that wants to touch the ball, be involved too much, but now the Sundowns is falling into that trap. Let Serino, Tembezwani do their own thing.
Do that work, yeah.
If you've brought in as a striker, make sure that you communicate with the guys that are playing under you, your midfielders, the guys, here's my strength. I don't want to come and touch the ball, because at the end of the day, you're going to be judged on goals. Midfielders are going to be judged on assists and minutes.
Sure.
So I believe that there's a lot of new things at the team at the time, and with the game that you don't want to use too many new things. I believe, like for me now, looking at the results, I wish Sundowns could have started with the trial and tested and introduce slowly and surely the new guys within the team. Because by going in three or four at the goal, it's a risk that you're losing that flow within the game.
When I saw that, I was a bit concerned. And now you move on to their game coming, which we're going to speak about, not right now, but now you go into a big game against Kaizer Chiefs. What do you do? Do you still introduce the new guys, or do you go back to plan A and just slowly, you know what I mean? That's the predicament they put themselves in.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, it's difficult to play for Sundowns. It's easy to sign for the team because the demands of the game, their game model demands are very high. And within the short space of time, there are very few players that I've seen coming in and clicking immediately and being able to produce results.
Yeah.
But now you've got all this talent that is there. You must understand, Shalulile played for a team that he needed to press the whole four defense alone. And even if he scored at the 89th minute touching ball twice, there's no problem. Now you're coming at Mamelodi Sundowns where you need to have shots at goal, attempts. If you're not doing that, we're substituting you because there is somebody else that can replace you.
Yeah.
You're looking at Kemet Erasmus that will hide at Cape Town City for a few minutes and come in at moments where it matters most and score goals and disappear and come up again. Sundowns, if you do that within 45 minutes, you can substitute it. So those are players that need adjustments within the team itself.
Yeah.
So I think look, they're playing against Kaizer Chiefs. Kaizer Chiefs also they've got their own issues.
Sure.
So we might not see a great game, but it will be very, very difficult to see. For me, I wouldn't want Mamelodi Sundowns to go back to their tried and tested. They've shown us what is it that they have within their position. I think they just need to continue and believing in the players that they brought in, the right players to do the job.
Okay. Orlando Pirates, Cape Town City.
Yeah.
Oh, Juka Manja's header is... the commentators didn't speak much about it, but I thought the finish was absolutely phenomenal. He's not the biggest of players, is he? But the cross from Wade Yuster as well was pinpoints. Very impressed with Wade Yuster's performance. We spoke about him last week as a surprise signing, but he's fitted in superbly, and he's one of our players of the game for sure. Cape Town City, all the possession, 520 passes compared to Pirates 304. They were even more accurate. There's this Fakhri Lekay's challenge, which was stupid. Stupid challenge.
It is what it is, man.
I think it was after 33 minutes or so, and that obviously changed the game.
It changed the game.
Yeah. Fair result, Eko?
Look, Sean, before I get to that, I got a lot of stick for this game. Maybe I don't know how I said it, but I'll say it again. I'll say it again. I don't care.
Yes.
Look, I believe... Maybe that's me. I believe Orlando Pirates has the players to do the business, irrespective of who's been signed right now.
Right.
I believe Orlando Pirates have the capable players to actually go on and compete with Mamelodi Sundowns, with the owners, and Kaizer Chiefs, and whoever that is running for owners. I believe that Orlando Pirates as a team for us not to say Pirates is in rebuilding stages.
Sure.
I believe that that game after Captain City got a red card, they could have dominated the game. They True. Could have shown who is the big team, mm-hmm. who they are, and especially with the kind of players that they have. But still, Cape Town City dominated the game. Yes, I understand the game model was different from Orlando Pirates in Cape Town City, mm-hmm. but there is an advantage, when, especially when a striker has been pulled out, so there's no threat at the back.
Yeah.
So I think they could have done more. But I got to stick, they're saying it's unfair. I'm being emotional about Orlando Pirates. The reason maybe being me being emotional about Orlando Pirates is I know the capabilities of the players that they have.
Sure.
And I've got high hopes on the players that they have, and I know they can do better. I'm not convinced about the win that they have, but I know that for a fact that they can do better. If you think that for me to say that that's stupid, then that's cool. But I believe that Orlando Pirates has the players, has probably they've got two players each position, and those are equally good players that they can actually compete in winning the league. Let's stop sugarcoating this thing. When they're not playing well, we're saying, but they're still rebuilding. Tiffon was not there. Guys, come on. They've got players that are getting millions of signing on fees there. They've got mm-hmm. players that are season campaigners within the league. They're players, they've got good players. So equally as Mamelodi Sundowns, equally as KZ Chiefs. But KZ Chiefs are in a difficult situation. So now who needs to take advantage of that? Orlando Pirates.
Sure.
They're the only team that said that last week, that the only team that are having core of the players that will be consistent going forward. Mm. Mamelodi Sundowns have signed 13 players that they still need to use within the season.
Correct.
So Orlando Pirates are in an advantage situation. So why are we still sugarcoating?
No, I agree. I mean, I wasn't convinced with their performance.
I'm not.
I do agree they are definitely going to be in a shout for league champions if they get things right. So, Seko, what went wrong? Even though they got the victory, I don't know if what went wrong is the correct terminology. Where could have they improved?
Look, I think there was. There's a lot of new faces. I still want to look, playing for Orlando Pirates is a big team, so sometimes you need acclimatization to that. Lucky those players, there was no fans.
Yeah.
I think there's other players that escaped with below par performances.
Yeah.
For I would say Tyson did.
Yeah.
I don't think Tyson had a beautiful performance. I think, you know, but he still needs to acclimatize to the team. I think what went wrong is a lot of fear within the team. A lot of guys played in that game had a lot of fear. And not only that game, knowing what Cape Town City is capable of, the history between the two teams, of course there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Tyson was a shadow of himself, to be honest.
Yeah, he was.
He was wearing the captain's armband for one of the biggest teams in Africa. I don't know if that got to him. But certainly
it should. If it doesn't, then you're not a human being. It should.
Yeah.
It should.
I agree. But he's a big signing. He's the captain of our country. I did expect a little bit better. But okay, they've got the points. They've got the victory, I should say. We put it behind them, and they move on. And we know the type of player Tyson is, so there's nothing really to be concerned about there, I would imagine.
Yeah, true.
I don't know if you want to talk about the other games. Bradley Grobler back on the TTM Supersport. It was Supersport all the way. Bradley Grobler again back on the score sheet, which is great. TTM slight little comeback. But I think we were going to see a Supersport win anyway, weren't we?
There were a lot of wrong things with TTM, and there were a few good things.
Yeah.
And I think if they can build from there, I just hope that Joel was the coach can see all the good things that they have done on that game and build from there, yes, TTM can compete. I think in Supersport, I think there was a lot of complacency, you know, and that nearly crept in, they nearly blew it. But obviously, we knew that Supersport will win. Supersport are the specialist of this show. So there's not much to talk about in that game, actually.
Yeah. Good chat. Boy, we are going to move swiftly into the international new desk.
The new desk.
News desk. with Mr. Kurt Butterfingers himself.
What's up, Shawnee?
Kurtie, what's happening, bud? What's happening with Van Dijk? What's happening with this European Super League? There's too much going on. Can Liverpool survive without him? Your input, please.
I... Oof. So I think that my prediction before the season started was that Liverpool would struggle to retain the title anyway, as any team would. But of course, Van Dijk's injury, his absence makes it even more difficult for Liverpool to hang on. I don't know. I mean, you could look at it like his injury cracking the league wide open, but you could also look at it as, you know, just unfortunate where Liverpool have, I mean, we all saw the challenge. I don't know if you, Teppo, Sean, I'm sure you guys saw the challenge.
Yeah.
It was very, very unfortunate, but Liverpool haven't given any indication yet as to how long Van Dijk will be out for. He released his own statement. Same thing, no time to it. I think it's super unfortunate. I thought that Jordan Pickford should have been given a red card. I mean, Sean, you're a goalkeeper. Are you making any challenges like that? Or
nothing wrong with that challenge. Nothing wrong with that challenge.
All ball, ref. All ball.
Not even a yellow. No. Come on.
No, so I do think that Liverpool struggle to retain the title. But, you know, if Thiago gets fit, we know that he's got another injury niggle. If he gets fit, they could potentially push Fabinho into centre-back with Matip. And if you look at the inconsistency from all the other Premier League sides, the top six at least, I don't think they're any different to, you know, any of those sides. I think a lot of teams will struggle to dominate. I don't think it's going to be a league season in which the winner wins by 20-odd points again. It's just one of those transitional seasons for many clubs. So, yeah, while it makes it difficult for them, I did think that with or without him, they would have struggled to retain the title.
Yeah, just to add on there, Jurgen Klopp was saying how disappointed he was in terms of the challenges being made. He understands it's a derby, etc., but Everton took it too far. Do you agree with that?
Look, that I thought that challenge from Pickford was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure if you guys saw Richarlison's tackle on Thiago.
Yeah.
That was even worse.
Yeah.
So I mean, did they take it too far? Probably. But that's what you know, that's what you're gonna get in a derby, and that's what you're gonna get, unfortunately, when there's such a gap between you and your rival. You know, they know that they probably can't beat you in terms of the football, so they're gonna come out and try and hurt you. That's just, you know, it comes with the territory. That's what happens when you're a top club like Liverpool. People are jealous of you, and they know that they're not gonna outdo you in terms of, you know,
they have to kick you, chief.
Yeah, exactly. That's just what happens. Teko, I'm sure you've had that.
I had that all my career.
Yeah, exactly. Those players want to be you. That's why they're going in.
I didn't want to be Teko.
That's so good. Good. I just wanna add on something. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's in the EPL specifically, I think there's so many teams that dominated based on the support that they have from the fans, especially with Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool were the strongest when it comes to fans. I think now, because of now the fans, they're not there yet. That's why maybe certain teams are struggling as much. Because I believe that if fans were there, things would have been very, very difficult and different for Liverpool's side, especially also for Man City. I think there's big teams are struggling a lot because of the fans.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so the fans become like the 12th player, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because look, sometimes as a player, when things are going well, the fans are there to lift you up. And we know how Liverpool were, especially last season. They were dominant, yes, last season, but there's part of last season that when they're not playing well, but the fans were always there to help them. They'll come in and scrape, maybe win a game 1-0 there at the end, but they managed to win the league. I'm just saying, you know, that's how they finished the league. Now, you can see that they're very struggling, and at times like this, that's when you rely on the fans and they're not there. It becomes very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kurt, have you got any feedback in terms of when fans will be allowed back in the stadiums? I know England now are going back into a hard lockdown, aren't they? So not anytime soon, I take it.
Yeah, not anytime soon. I think all the Premier League clubs, or the majority of the Premier League clubs, backed this vote to get fans back into the stadium, but the government have turned that down. They've rejected that. You know, but for now, but I'm not sure, Sean.
All right, cool. So, and now tell me, this European Super League, is this the end of the Champions League as we know it? What's happening? Is it going ahead? I'm confused.
Yeah, I think everyone's pretty confused. I mean, as was I. So 2 years ago, this is German publication, a very popular one by the name of Der Spiegel.
Is it German?
They leaked. Yeah. documents that included plans for this European Super League, rumored to start in 2021. It's been met with major backlash because it's seen as somewhat of an elitist competition, a battle of the rich, essentially, and only the rich.
Right.
And it would effectively, what I've read, it would effectively replace the Champions League. And it's backed by FIFA, which is, of course, football's governing body. So yeah, I mean, the reason you will get this backlash is because it's essentially wealthy club owners from Russia, from America, from Saudi, looking to, you know, maximize profits. It's kind of seen as a greedy, non-inclusive move. And yeah, I mean, it's basically a message to fans that football is now more concerned about making money than it is about the love of the game, the entertainment.
Yeah.
It's frightening. And it's backed by
JP Morgan.
Club bosses.
I mean, I see JP Morgan have put together £6 billion to make this happen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's backed by, you know, non-footballing people, but power-hungry billionaires. So, I mean, if you think of it like this way, and I saw somebody else making this point, so I don't want to claim it, but why would the Glazers, Manchester United's owners, why would FSG, Liverpool's owners, prioritize fixtures against the likes of Brighton and Crystal Palace when they could be playing a Bayern Munich or Juventus every week? You know what I mean? It's very clear where the money would be.
Right.
So, yeah, it would come with big TV rights deals. It would include massive, massive prize money.
It's a tough one. You can't blame the owners because at the end of the day, football has become a business.
It's kind of like Americanized in that sense. It's become a franchise sport.
Yeah.
And whether we want to admit it or not, the sound of it, you know, it's quite exciting. The idea that Juventus and Bayern Munich and Manchester United and Barcelona and Real Madrid could be involved in this tournament. It's a closed off tournament, but at what and at whose expense? So it's kind of like this feeling of football is no longer the people's sport.
I'll tell you something, Teko, if I was a player now in that, I'd be licking my lips, I'll be frothing at the mouth, because that would just be ka-ching for the players.
Yeah,
but if you're playing for that team, don't be participating there.
Mm.
Because not every team will be participating in that tournament. And
sure.
You are, you know, your Everton or your smaller club that works on the budget.
Mm.
And which means now we're going to be seeing all these top players playing for all these elite teams. None of the top players were playing for smaller clubs. So if that happens, you'll see there will be so many movements within the coaches, within the players as well, because everybody will be interested to be part of that. And like you're saying, if it's money driven, everybody now wants to get money. So it's going to be a mess. I just hope that, you know, it's been done for the right reason. As much as, yes, it's money, but I just hope that, you know, at the end of the day, as much as the players need to benefit, but the fans as well, which will make this tournament, you know, exciting, you know, also become part of it. You know, that they think of us, they think, because essentially, I wouldn't want to watch Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern, you know, 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
You know, because those are kind of games that make it exciting when I'm waiting for that game. Mm.
Exactly. It kind of takes away from the special occasion.
Exactly. So for me, it'll be, I don't want to see the Clásico every 2 weeks. Like, have you seen the derby coming back to South Africa? Have you seen the derby in South Africa? You have Black Label first week of what? The second week, MTN, they face each other again. Hey, the third week, there's a league. So when they ever meet each other, when in the derby South Africa, it becomes so boring because of now you've seen it so much within a short space of time. I don't want that to happen with El Clásico, Bayern versus Dortmund. We don't want that.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's a very good point.
I believe that they can just put the money where everything is right now. Just put more money in it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
it's a hypothetical thought experiment. What happens to player development in a world where there's a Super League? Where do these teams draw their players from?
Well, they will just, you know, poach the best players from the clubs not involved. Like, you know, it's so important for a league like the Premier League to have top players outside of the top six, like a Jack Grealish playing for Aston Villa. It's so important. It's what makes the Premier League so special, is that you will get these really, really good footballers like the Matt Letizias of the past playing for Southampton, the Paul Gascoigne of the past playing for Tottenham Hotspur. It's what makes it so important and big. And it's why the Premier League is widely thought of as, you know, the most competitive and most entertaining league in world football. Mm. But we are starting to see less and less of that in other leagues, and it's been happening. You know, we also need to be careful of not overreacting, because football has been going in this direction for a long time. If you look at other leagues, if you look at League One, if you look at Bundesliga, those the best teams in those countries are just taking the players from the smaller clubs. And we would just see that at a greater scale with the European Super League. You know, Jack Grealish would not stay at Aston Villa if he could be making double at a club like Manchester United or, you know, or Manchester City. So I guess that's the direction that would go in, yeah.
Interesting times, Vu. Kurt,
yeah.
You've been an absolute legend as usual. Get out of here. Thank you.
Thanks,
cheers, guys.
Kurt.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Cheers, thanks, buddy. Guys. Thanks.
Get back in bow.
all right, let's move on to the transfer, the latest in the transfer window.
Yeah, joining us is Soccer Laduma journalist Mazola Molefe. How are you doing, Mazola?
Well, good, sir. And you, how are you?
Mazola,
good.
Come when you want, bro, hey?
Jeez.
Hey. What happened? Why are you late?
Talking about transfers, I'm late because I just come from a Black Leopards sort of a media launch. They were launching a new kit and announcing a few new players, many of whom I have no idea who they are, but you know, some might be. Some
I was
might
about
be.
To say, that sounds very boring. But anyway, you're on the car wash now, so this should brighten your day. What's happening, brother? I see Euphoria has finally signed. Brandon Peterson is at Chiefs, hasn't signed. Shaba at AmaZulu alongside Shaka. Talk to us. What's been the latest?
Yeah, I think the big transfer this week definitely has to be the Ofori deal being being confirmed by Orlando Pirates. Obviously, Ofori has been a target of theirs for what, two seasons now.
Yeah.
And Mamelodi Sundowns were thereabout, but eventually Pirates won the race. So that's the big one. And I think Shaba joining AmaZulu, I did not see that coming. You know, I thought he'd probably maybe, you know, try and end his career at a Joburg club. I'm not too, obviously with Chiefs unable to register players, even if there were talks there of Shaba coming back, it wouldn't have been possible until obviously the transfer, you know, Kaz gave them an update on the transfer ban and they had that overturned.
Yeah.
Amigo Memela, Donna can tell us what goes on at Pirates there, because when he wasn't given his number 11 jersey, I think the player saw it as a sign that he's probably maybe not wanted there.
So sure. We've spoken at length on how what a difference Mamela's been made last season, and now he's not there. It's unbelievable.
Look at his stats. I mean, he's been at Pirates, obviously, you know, some 5 years now. He was closing in on 100 games. If he hadn't already played 100 games, you know, had I think 28 assists and 15 plus goals, you know.
Yeah, wow.
You know, that's a huge contribution. And for the player to walk away like that as a free agent, I mean, I understand if they couldn't, you know, really, I mean, I suppose they couldn't agree terms, but for a player of that quality to just walk away like that, you know, it came as a bit of a shock. So I think those are the standout signing, Ofori, Shaba at AmaZulu, along with Augustine Mulenga. I mean, look, you know, you guys have played the game. You know better how the coaches want to use their players, but you know, yes, Wade just had a good debut for Orlando Pirates, but to let go of Augustine Mulenga and bring in some of the players that they brought in. Look, the time will tell once they start playing. But I thought Mulenga was a big player. I think, you know, I'm surprised none of the other big teams tried to. I heard he was at Naturena, but obviously because of the ban, it's, you know, the guy wants to play right now. He doesn't want to wait for this going on, you know. But for me, it's also another big loss for London.
Yeah, I agree. I think
the permito is expiring, so he had to find a job, right?
Exactly,
now.
Bro. AmaZulu must have deep pockets, eh? I mean, these are three or four big signings. Teko, just your input here, bud. You know Shaba personally quite well.
Wow.
What's he now? He's 35, 36, he must be. Do you think he's going to add a lot of value at AmaZulu? Do you think he's there just because he's Shaba, or do you think he's still got something?
Look, to be fair, it has been a while since I've seen Shaba play.
Mm.
And looking at AmaZulu's ambition, I think their president, Usandile Zungu, said he wants the top four finish. So after he said that, then he goes on and signed 10 players. And with those 10 players, I think three stands out. And AmaZulu has just spoken about them, which is Mulenga, Memela, and Shaba.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've seen how we've, like you said, Sean, how we've spoken about Memela, how good he is, especially in that number 10 position.
Wow. It's been a while since I've seen a person. Unbelievable.
Exactly. It's been a while since I've seen a player playing that well in that position, you know? And Mango, I'm sure Mango's crying now because he wouldn't get that supply anymore.
Mm.
But there you take, you've got Memela, who definitely needs to start and probably is going to start as a 10 because you can't play him as a wing anymore.
Right.
And then you've got Mulenga, who probably you might use him as a winger, or maybe not as a striker, because you will never be inside the box. He's a good player, he's a good winger, he's a person that comes in as a second striker, good. But now, where are you going to use Shaba? So now, that's when you really need Shaba, like his experience in bringing the team together when things are tough.
Mm.
The guy to put in into the game when big games or when he's needed most, to bring the belief and hope into the team,
mm.
that's when you bring in Shaba. You're not bringing in Shaba to play him all the games. You're bringing him to bring that unity within the team. But yeah. Shaba will be very, very important into this team. So is Monip, if he's still there.
I think Monip's left, but I think that's what I've heard.
Okay.
And Shaka, hey? Sipalila Mthembu has signed. Ex Cape Town City. I know you... You're not the biggest of fans, but...
No, I never said that. Sean, please. All I can say is AmaZulu right now needs a technical advisor ASAP. With the type of good players that they have,
yeah.
and with an experienced coach that they have right now, they need somebody that can help them out. Instead of waiting for the coach to up and then you chase them away, I think you need a very experienced technical advisor to grow with the team.
Yeah, sure. Mazola, Brandon Peterson, training at Chiefs. What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, look, from what I understand, obviously Gavin's looking for a long-term Kune successor. You know, Kune is what, 33 now, and he's injury prone. Kune last, I don't think he's been able to finish a season the last three seasons.
Mm.
So that tells you that that Kune's, you know, your career is sort of winding down. So you need a goalkeeper that can give you get Brandon can probably give you another 10 years because I think he's 26.
Yeah.
Obviously he's still injured. Would only be available, you know, sometime in November or after that. And that's if they obviously overturn the FIFA ban.
Sure.
And then they'll able to register him and then he can compete with Kune for the number one jersey. But let's not forget that Daniel Akpe is also still at the club.
Yeah.
And they still have Bruce Vuma there. I think one of them, and obviously Brandon Peterson as well. But I think, you know, at least two goalkeepers might have to go out on loan. Because at the moment, if you count young Buntle Molefe, then Chiefs have about six goalkeepers, I think. You know, obviously the younger one will play for the MDC.
Yes.
So normally clubs would say they need three or four goalkeepers, especially if they're playing in the CAF or the Confed Cup. So at the moment it's six goalkeepers. If they are able to register players, and the ban is overturned, I think at least one or two of them will go. Whether it's a big scalp like Daniel Akpe or whether it's Bruce Fuma, I think it's one of the two. Because Braylon signed for Chiefs really as a backup. He's not going to play much. He knows that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a decent keeper. He needs to go out on loan.
Yeah, he needs. Obviously, he needs to play regularly as well to sort of be on the radar of other clubs potentially. But yeah, there'll be some serious competition there if you look at it. Brandon Peterson, Itu Kune is the captain as well. And then Daniel Akpe, who under Ernst, you know, there was a lot of criticism, obviously, because of playing Itu.
Mm.
But Daniel, you know, for me, he was among the best goalkeepers of the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, sir.
Mazola, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You can get out of here. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks, Mazola. Thanks, man.
Righty, moving on swiftly. Teko Madise.
Yes, sir.
The league is kicking off again this Saturday. We have handpicked three big, I wouldn't say big, one massive game and two other games. Let's start off with Chiefs against Sundowns. Chiefs playing at home. Sundowns coming off, obviously, as we've spoken about, a unconvincing performance. Kaiser Chiefs also not the most convincing first 45, but two goals coming from a bizarre source in terms of Jürgen Sassmann. I see it. It can either be a convincing win for one team or a very dull 0-0 draw. Where do you see it going?
I was about to say that this game can be one of the most exciting games or the most boring one.
Correct.
So you've covered all possibilities there. Well done.
Look, because I think Mamelodi Sundowns has more to prove in going into this game than Kaizer Chiefs. In a mere sense that Devin has to use what he has. I mean, we're still going to talk about this until something happens.
Yeah.
And it's still, top players for last season, they're still suspended. And one is injured.
Right.
You know, and with Mamelodi Sundowns, all the top players are there. No one is injured. That matters most, I think.
All the coaches are there?
All the coaches are there. You just wanted to say that. You've been dying to say
thank
it.
You. Thank you, Teko. But
it's gonna be one of those games. It might go either way. But I just hope for us as fans to be a very interesting game. I just hope that Mamelodi Sundowns can redeem himself. I just hope that Kaizer Chiefs can be as solid as they were second half of the game against Mariesburg and be, you know, and Bernard Parker continues the way that he played.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. I mean, I'm just so happy to see Bernard Parker playing so well. It's been a while since I've seen him playing so well. We always talk about how hard he works. Hey, but guys, also let's talk about the quality. He's a quality player.
That turn he did and shot with his left or hit the post was phenomenal. Different class.
But also, did you see the goalkeeper on the other side?
Yeah,
I told you about this last week.
Bad goalkeeping. Okay, quickly, your prediction.
I go for Sundowns win.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pirates AmaZulu.
Yeah, Pirates AmaZulu. AmaZulu at home. We've just spoken about their new signings, so I'm hoping they are all fit and ready to go. Pirates, again, we've seen not convincing at all on the weekend. Where do you see this one going, Tex?
I see a draw, yeah.
You see a draw?
Yeah, a beautiful draw. A game that is full of action and, open game, back-to-back, but a beautiful, beautiful draw.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be goals. And I do. I believe it's going to be an exciting game to watch, I hope. And I hope to see an improved Pirates. But I hope to see a very good AmaZulu this season because
we've
spoken about them over the last couple of seasons, how they're always fighting relegation. And I hope this is what AmaZulu needed in terms of new ownership and new money and new belief. So I'm going to join you with that one. I'm going for a draw. I'm going for a Kaizer Chiefs win, by the way, just letting you know. And
you know me.
Let's go to a lesser, I wouldn't say more interesting game, but certainly a it is actually a less interesting game. TTM versus TS Galaxy. They kick off at 3:30 on Sunday. The newcomers to the DStv Premiership. TTM obviously coming off a loss. Not the most convincing first 45 minutes, came back second 45, scored two goals. There was something there, Teko. There was something in the TTM squad. Although it's a brand new team, it's very hard to gel so quickly. I think Morocco Swallows are going to have the same problem. TS Galaxy for me, obviously with Tim Sukazi, who's a football guy, he's a football brain. Dan Masalela is coach, which is exciting. It's going to be a biggie. I see a TS Galaxy win here. Where do you see this going?
I would really love to see this game. Just want to see on TS Galaxy who they have and how they play. Because I know Dan Masalela, the type of coach that likes keeping the ball, that will make you work hard to get the ball back.
Good coach.
He's a brilliant coach. Yeah. TTM, I saw signs, but I believe that some of the players were played out of position so that they can accommodate whoever that was there because of the numbers that were not there.
Yeah.
So some had to play out of position. I just hope if that issue is sorted out, then everybody's available to play over the weekend against TS Galaxy. then I see TTM winning, merely because now they know what it feels like to play in the PSL.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on swiftly. We have to mention brilliant Kozwayo pitching up to do a talk and getting stabbed. But there's a quote here that the students wanted to take pictures with Kozwayo and the suspects got jealous and then he fought with him. So, I mean, there's more to the story, Teko. I don't want to get into it, but we had to mention it. I think we're going to see a lot more come out in the coming weeks in terms of what really happened. Moving on swiftly to the car of the week.
Ba-ba-boom. Ba-ba-boom.
And while we're talking about brilliant, let's talk about his car that he was pictured with lately, the new E-Class. The E-Class now comes standard as an E22D. Oh, sorry, 220D, 220D, although it looks like a larger C-Class or a smaller S-Class. The latest E-Class has a stellar technological statement. It's also a bigger and roomier than the previous model, but uses high-strength steel and aluminium in its structure to reduce weight. Jeez, the same
aluminium!
Not to 107.3 seconds, ranging from 650,000 to 1.2 million SA rant. I give this an 8.5 out of 10.
Is it in a class of its own, though?
It is in a class of its own. Well done, Simon. Horrific joke, but you can have it. We close. We all need a bit of motivation. Here we go from this week from Shaka himself. One day your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure it's worth watching. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
I hope you're making the most of your life, Teko.
I am, Chief.
That's it. That's how we close out. Simon, you want to close off?
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us, whether you've listened on soccerladuma.co.za, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Mahikeng, 96.7 FM's Game Time. That has been Sean Roberts.
Thank you, Nkosi Kakulu.
And that has been Teko Modise.
By a donkey, whoa.
I love it. I love it. Have a fantastic day.
Cheers, cheers, cheers. Cheers. Bye.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.